Hey, it's Kim Commando Today, your daily podcast to keep you up to date with all things digital and beyond. And I'd love to have you be a part of our podcast. You can make an appointment to speak with me. Just head over to commando.com, and on the top right, there's a button that says email Kim. Fill that out, and that's it. I always like to kick things off with something fun and interesting. And last November, when ChatGPT was released, it set the record for having the fastest growing user base ever, ever for any website. 2 months after its launch, it reached 100 million users. Okay, that beats the records of Facebook, Google, really just about anything else. But over the summer, everybody's like, what's going on? ChatGPT use fell dramatically. It's like, I wonder why. All right. I'm willing to bet a whole bunch of students are now using it with book reports, papers, math problems, and all the rest. But you have to really be careful with ChatGPT. It's not always correct. Like, for example, it has trouble figuring out the difference between a lion and a cheetah. Oh, I saw you smile at that one. Hey, listen, you're about to get more tech smarts because every single thing is now a tech thing. And if you're a new listener to the Kim Commando Show, welcome. So glad to have you with us. And if you're already a listener, welcome back. And you can find my award-winning show on 420 top radio stations throughout the United States. And of course, we're streaming in your favorite radio app. Just search for my last name, Commando. And you can find us as a podcast or a webcast. This is so fun, commercial-free, over at commando.com. Just hit the homepage and hit that big old button that says Commando Community. Now, if you're listening on the radio, we totally love that. Just a reminder, you can also get Kim Commando Today as a podcast. And wherever you get your podcast, just search for Commando with a K. That's Monday through Friday. You can listen to Kim Commando Today. It's about 30 minutes. And our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254 is the way to join us. Every single day, I go to at least 35 different websites to make sure that you and I are both up to date on all things digital. And here are the top five things that you need to know right now, starting with this. Imagine you're in the hospital. Okay, things are not going well. Your doctor plugs in all your vitals and test results into an AI model. Oh, what comes back? You are definitely going to die. This decision-making AI is coming to hospitals all throughout the country. Researchers at OSF Healthcare in Illinois, they've developed an AI model that can predict a patient's risk of death within 5 to 90 days after being admitted to the hospital. Now, they say that they're doing this because only 22% of folks in a hospital actually have an end-of-life directive. But is it really a good thing for AI to come in and direct when healthcare should stop? I mean, what if AI is wrong and the medical personnel, they just give up hope? Now, I know this might sound a little strange. Now, AI says there's nothing left to do to save a person's life, but the doctors want to try anyway. How will the insurance companies respond? Will they want to pay for that? Okay, these are all the new questions as we're entering this brave AI world. Number two on our list is drones are spying on you. Right now, there are more than 1 million hobby drones registered in America. Heaven only knows how many are buzzing around that are unregistered. A hobby drone should only fly, they say, 400 feet above the ground. But what if a drone is hovering above your home and then taking pictures of your family? The government says that they can shoot down spy balloons and drones, but you can't. Shannon's law makes it a federal crime to discharge a firearm into the sky. Now, it's also against the law to jam a drone signal. Now, you don't know where it's going to fall. Now, here's what you need to do. Photograph the drone, call the police, and then try to see where it lands. But speaking of drones, my husband just purchased a $1,500 drone the other day, and then he said to me, if this thing crashes, you're going to see a drone man cry. Oh, yeah, it runs in the family. All right, moving on to number three. If you're planning a night out, there's a new scam that's spreading. And before you scan in your favorite restaurant's menu using a QR code, I want you to listen up. Because as you know, because of the pandemic, more bars and restaurants than ever, they've just placed their entire menus online. And so at the table, you have that QR code. And it's that small printed square made up of tiny lines and rectangles. So you open up your camera app and then up pops the menu. And the restaurants, oh, so great for them. They save just a ton of money because they never have to print a menu. But the FBI is warning everyone that hackers are replacing the restaurant's QR codes with their own codes. It looks just like their real one, the original one. But instead of taking you to an online menu or to the checkout, this malicious QR code instantly downloads malware right into your phone, stealing your location and all the personal information right on your device. So if a QR code is at your table, never assume it's safe. Just ask the server if it's the real one, just to be on the safe side. All right, moving on to number four, the death of ownership. Oh, how many subscription services do you pay for? A ton, right? It's not just streaming TV. Subscriptions to use a growing number of things we already own are about to just overwhelm us all. Like my husband's new car came with a navigation system, but to make it work, yeah, he had to pay a monthly subscription fee, even though he purchased the system. Peloton bikes, another thing. To use it, you have to pay a monthly fee. The same thing with my rower. I got to pay a monthly fee. How about a Ring doorbell, a thermostat? Yes, more monthly subscriptions. Now, if you try to tinker with these things to make them work without the subscription, 9 times out of 10, they're just going to shut down. You can't use what you buy without a subscription to make it work. Now, these things are generating, here's the number for you, $8 billion a year. And in just a few years, that number's going to jump up to a trillion. Yeah. And it's going to keep growing as long as we keep paying up. And finally, this coming in last at number five. For the last few weeks, we've been totally reorganizing at the house. And I've discovered, like millions of Americans, that, yeah, we still own movies on old VHS videotapes. And if you do too, I want you to listen up. Because if you find a stash of VHS tapes, you just may have one that's super valuable. Now, most aren't, but a great copy of Back to the Future is worth about $1,000 on eBay. So is a more recent Fast and Furious. Taxi Driver sells for around $1,500, as does Disney's Dumbo. Now, but the Goonies, unbelievable. A Goonies VHS tape can sell for $4,000. And this one, Freddy Krueger, killing everyone he can find in A Nightmare on Elm Street, is worth up to $5,000. So to get top dollar, the video and its box, it must be in great condition. If the cellophane wrapper is still on the box, it's a little gold mine. Now, in the last few years, VHS collectors have spent over $3 million on eBay. Who knew? I mean, remember these? Be Kind, Rewind. What about the other things we don't say anymore? Let's see. Call Me Collect. Yeah, never. Oh, how about this one? Get the map out of the glove box. Yeah. Or let's see. How about one more? Look it up in the yellow pages. Yeah, all these things we just don't say anymore. All right, if you're a guy who's been shopping for t-shirts online, there's a very, very good chance that you stumbled upon the True Classic. That's right. It's this huge brand. It has a major online following. People love their basic tees and clothing. And let me tell you guys, they really do make you look good. And get this number, it's projected to make $250 million in 2023 alone. Yes, I said $250 million. Now, this story is just a true classic of an American entrepreneur who makes good and then just go ahead and just explodes his business. And Ryan, thank you so much for being here. So I guess I just want to start with the beginning. How did you come up with t-shirts? I mean, you went up against Hanes and everybody else who's selling a t-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I definitely didn't think I would be taking market share from Hanes when I started this thing, but it really just started like with most people, whereas you see a gap in the market, you see a problem. And ultimately I felt like it was something that wasn't being solved. And I felt like the guys that were competing in this space just weren't doing a great job of kind of taking care of the customer. So that was kind of where it started, was just finding a void and trying to fill it.
And so how much money did you have when you started the business?
We ran the business on credit cards in the beginning. So we really didn't need much money. All we needed money was for the manufacturing to be able to make samples and build tech packs. You have to put up money for that. So it started out with $3,000. And after that, we started making sales. And then we were able to kind of just pay back the credit that he had given us in that initial term. And that really allowed the relationship to flourish because he saw that this was a real business. And on the marketing side, I was only spending money on Facebook, which was the way to go, because I knew that, you know, if I put the money to work for me on Facebook, it was going to give me a quantifiable return versus a lot of other forms of marketing where you're just spraying dollars everywhere and you don't know if it's, you know, sunk or if it's actually giving you a return. So it was very easy in the beginning on Facebook to say, okay, I'm going to spend a dollar and make $3, and then I can just keep rolling that money over into the business.
And so, okay, so you're starting to sell t-shirts. At what point do you sit back and you say, I think it's going to make it. I think we're going to do good. And now we need to roll the dice and we're going to come up with some variations of the first classic tee.
Yeah. So I think pretty early on, we realized that we weren't just going to be able to sell t-shirts. Originally what I wanted to do was even go more narrow and only sell black and white t-shirts. I wanted to basically be the best black and white tee that ever existed. And then we quickly realized that you can do that, but you're just going to severely limit yourself in the marketplace. So we started doing different colors. And then the obvious next step was, let's do V-necks, let's do long sleeve tees, let's do polos, but let's make sure they all have the same fit, the same consistency, same price relative to the competitors. And you want to keep giving customer value, right? So you have to keep rolling out products that they love. And that's, what we still do to this day at scale.
But I did read a story about you, Ryan, where you guys made an inventory mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was not a fun time.
It didn't sound like it, but we've all made mistakes, and sometimes that can break you. But when I read about it, I thought, you know what? You guys just kept going, and it was a big mistake.
Very big mistake. But I think ultimately we had a lot of confidence in ourselves that our partners that we were working with were going to be reasonable. They didn't have to be reasonable, right? Like, they could have definitely made it very difficult for us and could have really gouged us in a time where we were kind of desperate to work a deal. So, listen, we've always relied very heavily on our negotiating skills. It becomes a huge part in really saving money and working well with vendors as you kind of move with a growing company. But it was a big miss. And, we're gamblers over here. Two of the three founders are pretty big gamblers, and we bet on the upside. And what happens when you bet on the upside and you don't sell enough is those invoices start coming in, and you better be able to pay those on time or you're going to run into problems. And that's exactly what happened. We just thought we were going to be hitting numbers that we didn't hit. And so we had to adjust, and we had to go back to them. We had to figure out how to get a credit line from an external vendor, which was Wayflyer at the time. And, it was a very stressful time, but, ultimately we believed in ourselves. We believed in our ability to work with people and prove the vision to them and say, listen, this isn't forever. We're in a bit of a bind. Work with us here, and I promise there will be much more upside for you in the future. And I think they all believed us, and that was why they wanted to work with us. And listen, it worked out well for them, because now we're out of it, and they're all making a ton of money off of us.
Yeah, so, which is nice.
We were lucky. We were lucky in the fact that they did take a bet on us, and it worked out.
Well, I can't imagine. I mean, because, you try to project, because you want to have the inventory for the customer when they buy it. You don't get paid until you ship it, right? But I'd like to go back just a second to the t-shirt itself, that first original. Was it the shirt would fit the male body, better than just a box? Because I that's what I see it as.
Yes, that's 100% what it was. All the t-shirts I had in my closet, and I used to buy a lot of even like Walmart, Target, Old Navy. And the problem I kept running into was that none of them really fit me the way that I liked. And I just thought, I wonder why no one makes t-shirts that really fit guys, I think, the way they would want them to be fit. Now, obviously, I didn't know that I was speaking on behalf of millions of people at the time. But I just thought, there's got to be other people that feel the same way I do. So that's kind of where the journey started.
I'm sure there were more than a few people around you that said, you know what, you're just nuts. Why would you even think of doing this? What do they say to you now, Ryan?
Yeah, like my wife. if you really look at the macro, you'll just never kind of get started, right? But even when I looked at the macro, what I realized was that even those guys weren't being as intentional as I thought that I could be. So I did feel like, even though everyone's been doing it, I still felt like it could get better ultimately. And I think that with just about any business that I look at nowadays, I see glaring holes in a lot of these markets. And I'm thinking, well, that market's just waiting for someone to come along and be a little bit more intentional and take all the market share. Because I think what businesses don't realize is that the deeper you go on customers and the more eccentric you are, the more they will gravitate towards you.
Well, congratulations on your success, Ryan. You have to keep me posted. I want to hear back from you when you hit a billion. I know you will.
Absolutely.
You got
Thank you so much for having me, Cam. I really appreciate it.
You betcha. Thank you, Ryan. All right, let's switch gears just a little bit. And by the way, if you are a small business owner and if you're ever wondering, like, you know, how to get email marketing started, how to buy ads on Facebook or Instagram, or what the lifetime value of a customer may be, you know, I always love to hear from you small business folks because, you know, this is no overnight success, okay? I mean, we started, oh my gosh, in a closet with a small studio. And now it's just this big old media empire, thanks to all of you guys and gals. But if you ever have a small business question, I am totally here to help you. I mean, I'm not part of some big network, and we have no debt and we have no investors. And so if I can lend a hand to your small business, just remember, you can always hit that button right there on the homepage that says Email Kim. All right, if you work in an office, you might be tempted to stick in any old thumb drive hanging around to your PC to store or transfer your docs, but you really need to stop that right now. That innocent-looking USB drive just might be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Why? Because these slimy hackers, that's what they do. They scatter infected thumb drives in public places, parking lots, so that this way you're going to plug it in and then they can carry out their malicious activities. And once it's all connected, malware on that thumb drive can infect your PC, giving this hacker free and total access to all your files. So what should you do to stay safe? Okay, repeat with me. Do not plug in any old thumb drive that you find, because this is just spreading across the United States. And before we go back to all of your phone calls, just a quick tip about recycling. I mean, of course, you're going to segregate your recyclables from everyday trash. You're going to divide your plastics from paper, you know, the whole shebango. But there are certain tech items that you cannot toss into the recycle bin or even your trash can. I mean, batteries, for instance, especially lithium ion types. They power our phones, our laptops, you know, tablets, cameras, tools, I mean, smart toys, I mean, just about everything. But you cannot just fling these things into the trash or the recycle bin. You really need to take them to a hazardous waste collection center. Next up, your television. Why? Well, think about this. It's just packed with glass and lead and potentially hazardous materials, and it's definitely not meant for the landfill. And let's not forget those old relics. Yes, those old glass thermometers. Now, if you still have one, yeah, it likely contains mercury. So don't just put it in the trash, and whatever you do, do not try to break it. All right, let's see. How about Brian in Des Moines, Iowa? You're up next.
I run a very small company of about 8 people, and right now we're using paper time cards, and I'm figuring it all out by hand. Ooh. And I would love something that we could do on our phones in order to keep track of time.
And so what kind of business do you have?
We run a firewood company, and it's mainly a delivery service that we run pallets of firewood to C-stores or convenience stores and gas stations and grocery stores, things like that.
Awesome. So then location tracking probably would be important.
That would help. Mm-hmm. That would be nice if that was added to it. I've looked at some. They seem super complicated.
Oh, no,
and
yeah.
I'm an older guy, and I'm kind of simple. So
It's fine. So, you know, basically what we're going to do is, you know, you set it up, and you're going to pay per seat or per user, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then there could be another fee that is just a monthly fee on top of that. But what it's going to give you is exactly what you're looking for. I mean, how many hours that people are clocked in, clocked out. Also, you get their real-time location, and then there's also GPS tracking location. So mm-hmm. if somebody says, well, you know, I clocked in at 7 a.m. At so-and-so's, you know, at this 7-Eleven, and then you look and go, nope, 7-Eleven, you were still sleeping, okay?
I
can see that.
I like that.
And then it also works with QuickBooks and other accounting packages. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not difficult to set up, but just make sure that since, you know, you're relatively new with all this stuff, that you take a look at the tutorials. They always put tutorials right there on the site for you because they want to make it easy. And then typically a chat, it will pop up out of the lower right-hand corner if you ever stop, and they'll say, hey, how can we help you? So they mm-hmm. there are a couple of these that I'd like you to take a look at. One is called T-Sheets that I looked at. You don't need to write this down. Lovely Amber, who's screening calls today, she's going to send you some names of some sites for you to take a look at. But one's called T-Sheets. Another one's called Harvest. I have heard that Clockify, though, is one of the best ones out there. Mm-hmm. And I think they start at like $10 per month per user. But you get all these detailed reports. Like I said, you get the tracking, and then it all integrates into your accounting packages. So no longer will you be sitting there on a Sunday night, Brian, saying, okay, let's see, 12 plus 8 is 20.
Yeah.
Times 20.
Find them all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So how is the firewood business?
It is a growing industry. It is something that people want their leisure time, and fire pits are a big deal. So summertime is extremely busy, and believe it or not, it slows down a little bit in the wintertime. Not everybody has a stove or a fireplace. Mm-hmm. And then the type of things that we sell are a little bit expensive to burn that in bulk. So
what is that?
Pardon me?
I said, so what is expensive that you're talking about?
Well, I mean, a bundle of firewood will go for $8 around here. And you can get a whole pickup for $80. So it would be probably double that if you bought it all bundled and packaged and labeled and everything like that. So we also do that on the side for those that are local. We travel 150 miles from around in a circle around Des Moines to deliver firewood. So,
wow, that's big. That's a big area.
We do a lot of firewood.
So how did you get into the firewood business?
Weird story. I got a free stove. I got a free stove off of Craigslist. I needed wood, so I kept hunting wood down. Finally found where I could get wood, and then my son and I started selling it, and it went from there.
Well, congratulations.
It just went crazy.
It's almost like that story of like the guy with the free paperclip that turned it into a house. You got a free stove.
Exactly.
And now
yeah.
All of a sudden, you're in the wood chopping and distribution and business and making just some great income with that. That's awesome.
Yep.
Hey, Brian, hang on the line. We're going to send you some of these links. And then if any of these don't work out for you, just give me a call back. I'm happy to take it to the next level.
Will do. Thank you so much for your help. And I do listen to your show, and I love it.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you. All right, if you're looking for a great free video editing program, oh my gosh, there's just a slew out there. But without much fanfare, Microsoft has released a really good video editing program called Clipchamp. And it's easy to use to make those family videos and making some solid social media commercials. Now, Microsoft would love, love, love for you to buy a Clipchamp subscription to store all your videos in the cloud and then also use stock video images. But here's the secret. You don't need either one. You can store all of your videos for free on YouTube and then use the sites like Unsplash and Pexels to get free stock footage. Now, Clipchamp is free inside the Microsoft Store. Now, what about if you're on a Mac? iMovie, yeah, it's just free from Apple and it's tops. I mean, editing a video is no big deal. And that's the thing. If you haven't used a video editing program lately because you thought, oh my gosh, it's just too hard. I don't want to have to learn something new. Try again. These programs have changed for the better, and a lot of them now have AI built in. Speaking of, YouTube has a new app. It's called YouTube Create. I had a chance to sample it, and wow, talk about making a video editing job easy. It has a bunch of free, easy-to-use tools. You can make shorts and also longer videos. And so what you do is you add your clips, and then you can use the built-in editing tools. You can trim everything. You can add stickers and GIFs and whatever else that you want. It also includes, and this is fabulous, royalty-free songs, too. Now, it's in beta for Androids, I know, and bummer, no iPhone app yet. But in case you're on Android, you want to check it out. It's called YouTube Create. Kevin in Prescott, Arizona.
I retired, and I'm writing. I've been writing for a few years. But now I'm getting seriously into it because I have a bit more time.
Okay.
Oddly, though, I mean, you retire and all of a sudden all my kids and grandkids, everybody wants something now. but I'm finding the time to write. And I have an old tablet. It doesn't work. And I need some portability because I'm going to be traveling quite a bit to write. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to invest a whole lot of money into a laptop. They're kind of heavy and not easy to transport. So I'm looking for a really good notebook, and I use Word primarily.
Okay.
So hopefully it's something. I haven't had much luck going online to find things. I don't want to spend more than $300-$500. That's
okay.
It.
All right.
Got any ideas?
Well, yeah, of course. And where have you been my whole life, Kevin? Come on. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, let's talk about your tablet. Okay, since you like to use Microsoft Word, we're going to stick primarily in the Windows camp, okay? Because this is what you like. This is what you're familiar with. That you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'm not saying that, but there's a lot to be said for comfort when you are trying to just travel around and get things done and start writing all these terrific stories. So when we start looking at Microsoft-based products, of course, the first one that comes to mind is the Microsoft Surface. They just announced some new models, the three, and I think there's three or four other models out there. We're going to be writing about all of them in the newsletter. And then, of course, we'll post it on the website. But with these new Microsoft Surface, basically what it is, it's a tablet that you attach a keyboard to.
Perfect.
And so when you want to use it as a tablet, you can. When you want to start writing, you just attach the keyboard and then you're good to go. The base model starts at around $350.
Okay.
Now, the one that's out now, the one that they're replacing, is the Microsoft Surface Go 2. And now, one of the things you might want to think about is that if you don't need the latest and greatest, what happens is whenever any tech company announces a new product, the other ones go, okay, this is a little bit older. We're going to start discounting it down. And so, you know, I'd say if you can wait a week or so and start letting the new models hit the virtual storefronts and even the Best Buys of the world, is that you're going to see the older model, even though it's still good, and it runs Windows 10. That you're going to see those prices come down if money's an issue. Now, Microsoft Surface, okay, that's one. HP Pavilion, they have a tablet, too, with a detachable keyboard. And I really like those. If you ever want to watch the show, you can see that I have an Apple iPad in front of me. But when I write, you know, I write a lot. I write the newsletters that you read every day, along with some of the team members here, and I write for USA Today and the New York Post and the Daily Mail, is that when I write, I can't do it on a tablet. Can you?
No, not really.
No, I mean, I need to have a keyboard. I mean, I just need to have a keyboard. So that's why I'm pointing you in the direction of a tablet with a detachable keyboard. So if, in fact, you ever want to use it as a tablet, that you're good to go. But again, you have that detachable keyboard to go along with it. I'm going to post some links over at commando.com for all of you who are listening. Like, hey, I'd like to check that out, too. And don't forget, if you don't already get the newsletters, you can sign up over at getkim.com. And Kevin, Amber's going to be passing along a couple of Amazon links to you right now. So hang on the line. We'll get those out to you. And thank you for your call. All right. Back to the phones we go with Bill in Big Fork, Montana.
Well, I think mine's pretty simple, but I was, first of all, I'd say I'd rather read your daily column than the front page of any newspaper, just so you know. It's much more entertaining. But under tech news a week or so ago, you had the Google app in settings, and there's 8 sub-settings in there, and 2 of them don't make sense to me. Yet again, a 13-year-old kid programmed this when I bought it 3 or 4 years ago. But it says local network off position and cellular network and the on position. Now, of course, local, I'm not sure what everybody's got a network and everybody's got cellular data, but why is this different than the companies that I use to provide those services?
All right, well, let's talk about it. Let's start at the cellular data, okay? What that means is that if you want to use the Google app or any other app when Wi-Fi is not available, it's not there, it's not good enough, is that you can turn on cellular data. So it's going to use your cellular network instead of Wi-Fi. It also allows you to keep using Google to get directions and use the web when you don't have that Wi-Fi connection. And, you know, if you're on a limited plan for the cellular data, then you might want to turn that off for certain apps so that this way you don't get hit. If you are, you may get hit with some data overage fees. And especially if you're traveling overseas, oh my gosh, make sure that you turn off cellular data, because if you don't, here, me, lesson learned, Bill. I tell people all this, but I went to climb Machu Picchu and I forgot. I left it on. I came home to a $700 cell phone bill. I was like, OMG.
Okay. Yeah. So good to know. We're headed to Switzerland next month, so that's good to know.
Oh, yeah. Turn that bad boy off. Off.
Okay.
Okay. Now, with local network, that's about the app's ability, okay, to use other things that may be on the same network. So maybe if you are going to use the app to connect to a printer, or you're going to use it to connect to a streaming devices. But for most cases, the cellular data on, the local network off, is going to be really suitable for just about, you know, anybody who's using it. I probably have the settings that way on my phone, because we're not talking about local network Wi-Fi. Of course, we're going to leave Wi-Fi on. It's just for this particular app. So does that make sense?
It does make sense. Okay. That explains it. I appreciate it.
All right. And Bill, thanks for getting our newsletters, because I think everybody in the universe should get our newsletters. Don't you agree?
I agree. And it's worth a little giggle every morning.
Well, those are my corny dad jokes. Can't help it. Sorry.
I read every one of them.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for your call today. And if you're not getting our newsletters, you know, just a quick plug, make sure that you sign up now over at getkim.com. Once again, that's getkim.com. Now, for most people, a trip to the mechanic is just routine. You get oil changes, tire rotations, but Mason Berger's experience was different. He took his BMW to a repair shop, just needed a tune-up. But when he got his car back, something was wrong with the stereo. He checked his dash cam, and he discovered, wow, this car could have been in the Fast and Furious. The mechanic cranked up the tunes, damaged the stereo, sailed through two red lights, hit a speed of 113 miles per hour on the highway. Wow, okay. So the next time you drop your car off at the mechanics, take a pic of the mileage, video the entire car inside and out in case there is damage. Maybe turn on a dash cam, put an air tag in the car. This way you have proof. If your car leaves the repair shop, you can get an automatic alert too. Hey, do me a solid and tell three friends about the Kim Komando Show and our podcast, because knowledge is power and everyone needs more tech smarts. And you can find me 24/7 over at our website. That's Komando.com with a K, of course.
This program is a copyrighted production of Westar Multimedia Entertainment and protected by the copyright laws. Any rebroadcast or use of this program for commercial, business, economic, or financial purposes without the written permission of Westar Multimedia Entertainment is strictly prohibited.